The Prime Minister is to appoint a new Defence Secretary after last night's resignation of Sir Michael Fallon for inappropriate sexual behaviour. He said his conduct had fallen short of standards he now expected, and there's been speculation that other political careers may be about to end over allegations of sexual abuse and misconduct. Scottish Tory leader Ruth Davidson said it was time to clear the stables in light of recent allegations, but said there was need for some pretty big shovels to do it with. If anyone knows what's been going on in Parliament, it's our next two guests, former Conservative Minister and broadcaster Edwina Curry and the Daily Mirror's Associate Editor Kevin Maguire. Good morning to you both.
Hello, good morning.
Edwina, first of all, your take on what's been happening, these revelations day after day, more people making accusations and coming out and apologising.
Well, the list that was circulated earlier in the week, Stephen, looked pretty thin stuff. I mean, apart from anything else, a number of the allegations were about consensual arrangements, grown-ups deciding what they wanted to do, and to a certain degree, it's nobody else's business but theirs. And some of them that have surfaced, you know, the one about Michael Fallon is that many years ago, you're talking more than 15 years ago, he put his hand on a journalist's knee, and she said, you know, don't, basically, and that was it. And there is but absolutely nothing against Michael Fallon since. I think his reasons for resigning are exactly what he has stated, that he's very determined that that kind of behaviour in the Navy, and in particular in the armed forces, where you've got to have people battle ready. You can't have any kind of workplace relationships there. They've been banned for a long, long time. And I think he felt that, you know, it was very difficult for him to start telling other people what to do if there were questions about his own behaviour. But actually, he's been one of the best public servants we have had for nearly 35 years. And it's a tragedy to see this.
The swirl of allegations, Edwina, it does suggest to many that Westminster is rife with sexual misconduct ranging from abuse to consensual affairs. Is that true? Is that a fair assessment?
No, I don't think it is. It certainly wasn't in my day when we had far fewer women MPs. You've got far more women MPs now, and there's a great deal more scrutiny. Everybody's much quicker to take offence. Everyone's much quicker to go talking to the press and so on. I suspect they're not as willing as they should be very, very occasionally to go to the police. Some of the most difficult and tragic cases have involved serious criminal activity, and that is, I think, where the police should be involved. The Prime Minister said so at Prime Minister's Question Time yesterday, and I think I breathed a sigh of relief. But is it common practice? No. Does it happen all the time? No. They're politicians. They're the most boring people in the world.
Well, you weren't that boring yourself, Edwina.
Well, I wasn't, but then I've always been an exception, just as you are, Stephen.
Yes, OK. Kevin, what do you think? And don't call me Stephen, because I'll get in trouble. But that's OK. Kevin, go ahead. Do you agree with Edwina?
No. Michael Fallon talked about his behaviour falling way below standards on occasion. That is multiple, that is plural, that is more than one. This isn't about his hand on a knee. It's about him being questioned about what else might come on in his behaviour. And Downing Street is in an utter panic at the moment because he doesn't know where the next allegation is going to come from, but it fears they're going to keep coming in. And that's why he's gone. I agree it would be absolutely absurd if he'd gone over touching a journalist's knee 15 years ago when she took no offence from it whatsoever. This isn't about that. And on the back of what's happened with Harvey Weinstein, it seems that are now prepared and have the confidence to speak out. And as they speak out, there are some very worried politicians. Others, I agree with Edwina on that list. I read that list. Some of the allegations I know to be untrue. Some they're not even affairs. They're just relationships. Some are true, I believe, alas. And there are lots that aren't on there. You've got 650 people in here who are MPs at any one time. They're all great characters in their way. They have some power. They're risk takers by nature. You have a lot of other ambitious people in here. Some of those risk takers see the young people who come in a pleasantly way. It's not a unique workplace, the House of Commons, but it kind of has to have better standards than you do get out.
Well, that's true. The people that are leading the country, you think that they would be setting an example. Some commentators have said, Kevin, that everyone knew what was going on. So why did more of this not break before now?
Oh, we've written about it, much of it. I remember writing about John Prescott and his secretary and his deputy prime minister, which I considered an abuse of his position of power. We wrote about Keith Barr's paying two men for sex recently. We write about many of these stories, but the big legal, and it's a big legal problem, it's a real legal problem, is often the victim does not want to be named, does not want to speak out because they're embarrassed, they fear they will be turned into somebody who will be attacked, and that allows the perpetrators to get away with it. The mood seems to be changing now. Partly, I think it is because there are more women MPs. I think it's also partly because the women who've been harassed will speak out. You've got Arlene Foster now in Northern Ireland. You've got Ruth Davidson in Scotland. You've got Theresa May, a female prime minister.
Okay.
You've got half a shadow cabinet who are women.
Well, of course, let's not just isolate this to one gender or another. Edwina Curry, when it comes to, and I am not trying to trivialise people that are victims of sexual misconduct or even more heinous crimes, but for example, when it comes to colleagues, and I don't just mean in Westminster, but in general, people can be very tactile. So is there a line or is there a difference between touching someone, say, for example, on the knee, touching them on the shoulder, or being affectionate in some other way? Because a lot of this will depend on how the person on the receiving end interprets and manages that.
It's Vinny, isn't it? Not Stephen. I do apologise.
That's all right. I wish I was on his salary, Edwina, but unfortunately I'm not.
I thought you were sounding unusually intelligent for the morning. One of the difficulties is that the etiquette of this has vanished. There used to be an etiquette where you understood whether somebody was making a sexual approach or they were just being kind or friendly. And that seems to have vanished. And it's weird these days. Somebody will come up to me, a complete stranger, be introduced, say, in a BBC green room, and they give me a bear hug. And I'm looking at them and thinking, get off, I don't know who you are. And they mean nothing by it. Nothing whatsoever.
True,
it's just the courtesies of the time.
But you being you, and you are able to accept that, whereas someone else might feel very uncomfortable to the point where they feel like that person has stepped over a line, which is what I mean by the receiver and how they interpret that interaction with that other person.
Usually, I don't think there's much doubt whether the approach is a sexual one, perhaps for a romance, for a relationship, or whether it's just being friendly. But when people are willing to take offence so easily and portray themselves as kind of, you know, weak, fainting flowers, I think they're pandering to the Victorian idea of womanhood. And, you know, we women, we can take care of ourselves. It should be quite easy to say no to somebody.
Yeah,
very,
but you
very
can
carefully.
You can take care of yourself. So.
No, but that can teach other people those skills.
I know, but what I mean is some people maybe aren't as forthright or as, you know, as ballsy as Edwina Curry. So they are, you know, we were talking, without mentioning her name earlier, Julia Hartley Brewer, who basically said...
She's stronger than I am, believe me.
But that's what I mean. It's different people, different personalities and how people react
sure.
to situations.
Okay, but then part, you know, when we with children in school, Vinny, we teach them to recognise bullying, to stand up to bullying, to report it, to support anyone that's being bullied, you know, to call it out. We teach them how to behave with bullying. If the behaviour has any kind of element of bullying in it, and a power play that involves sex is definitely that, then that's how it should be dealt with. If it's simply somebody being friendly, or even just possibly, and it happens, looking across a room and thinking, do you know what, I so fancy that person. Maybe just they might be interested in me. How do you make that approach? That has to be a possibility. We have to leave room for people not to be offended, perhaps even to be slightly flattered, but still to say no.
I want to play a clip from last night's Nolan Live TV programme where there was an interesting exchange between a member of the audience and the former Lads Mag editor Piers Hurnu on the inappropriateness of any physical touch.
So what did he say that upset you?
That there was a line. There is no line.
Piers?
There's clearly a line.
There's no line.
Well, you
that's
can touch someone's...
Sorry, that's total bull.
...private parts or their elbow. There's a line between those
but what
two
if
things.
The woman... How do you know if that woman wants to be touched on that elbow?
Well,
that
you
is
don't,
total
but
rubbish.
Are you suggesting we live in a sterile society where all touch is
no,
forbidden?
No, but a woman
because
has a choice. A woman has a choice.
Yeah, but I mean, I touched Stephen on his shoulder earlier. Is he going to
How do you know he wants...
Court?
Can yes. you read his mind? Can you read these people's minds to say that he wanted you to do that? Do you know that he doesn't feel uncomfortable?
What is acceptable and what isn't? And some people clearly are slightly autistic when it comes to this and get it wrong.
Kevin, it's that kind of... Say, for example, if you're on a date or if you're in a situation where you might kiss somebody, and I'm not trying to trivialise this at all. You know, if you lean in to kiss someone, if they have not invited that in, is that also, or could that be interpreted by some people as inappropriate sexual behaviour?
Oh, it's inappropriate if it's unwelcome. But I think if you're out on a date, it's very different than if you're at work. You're going about your...
But are we getting to a climate now, Kevin, where that line is blurred?
Yeah, but I think it might be a bit blurred. But for instance, I speak to a lot of female politicians. I don't go around touching them on the knee. I don't go around trying to kiss them. I don't go around touching them on the arm.
But even outside of politicians, outside of the a formal working environment, just in society in general, is it appropriate to touch someone that you're having a conversation with? Maybe you've met once or twice before on the elbow, and I don't mean in a sexual way, but it could be interpreted that way.
Yeah, it might be, but it very rarely is misinterpreted like that in truth. Of course, it's all right to touch somebody sometimes if you know them or you're trying to get their attention, or you might be laughing at a joke and you might touch their arm and say, that's funny. I find touching knees less so. I consider that to be more sexual and almost on every occasion. There is some blurring, but there are also quite clear lines. And I think in politics, certainly here in Parliament, where I am now, there have been men, mainly men, not exclusively, some women too. Not all the people who've been harassed, intimidated, are women either. There are some men, it's got to be said. But they feel it has been inappropriate. They felt uncomfortable and they've been concerned. I'm glad we're having this debate now. I'm glad it's out in the open. There will be some victims on the wayside. Some of them will deserve to be hounded out of office.
Edwina Curry, Ruth Davidson, we mentioned it earlier, said big shovels are now needed to clean out the stables. Now, you're suggesting that there's maybe not that much to clean out in the first place, but what do you think will happen next?
Well, Ruth, bless her, absolutely wonderful, but she's not a member at Westminster, so goodness knows how she knows what she's claiming to know. And there have been a couple of allegations made at Holyrood, haven't there? What will happen next? Oh, there'll be a media frenzy for a while. A couple more reputations will be trashed, probably without real foundation. Families at home will be upset about it. Of course they will. And then, you know what? We might actually concentrate on the threat of nuclear war from North Korea and Brexit and a few other more important
without
things.
Real foundation. Is that fair, Edwina? If people, and it goes back once again to how you interpret as that individual when it's you're receiving that attention and that... And that kind of, whatever from that other person. If you don't want that, it can be very uncomfortable. It can be very unnerving. And then, therefore, to dismiss that, it's not necessarily fair.
Well, as we've just heard from Kevin, and he's probably the one who knows more about it than any of us as a journalist, some of the allegations that have been made are plainly false. And that has happened as well. And that can ruin careers with no cause whatsoever. But there is a clear difference between someone who's a predator, somebody who uses a position of responsibility and power to force people into doing something they don't want to do, or to force them into a silence that they wouldn't normally maintain. There's a clear difference between that and a mistake and an unwanted advance that is rejected politely and firmly and is not repeated. And it seems to me that we need to be recognising that we have human beings in politics as anywhere else. But most of the time, most of the people in the political world, and particularly in Westminster, are working too darn hard and they're too darn interested in politics to get involved in anything. They are really much less sexually active than the rest of the population. I'm sure of that.
There are a few comments coming in on the phone about you in terms of your time in Westminster. I don't need to mention any former Prime Minister's name.
But you can see the contrast there a little bit. Oh, sure, but all they're busy inventing stuff. All that people know about it is what I have put into the public realm, and I did it long after he stopped being Prime Minister and soon after he wrote a memoir that seemed to imply, bless him, that he was a victim of all sorts of terrible things, with me thinking, pardon me? No, you weren't. You made a speech about back to basics and family values, and you shouldn't have.
George in Kullabaki. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Vinny. Vinny, like many of your listeners this morning...
You're on the top story this morning, sorry, the current position with the talks. Go ahead,
yes,
George.
Indeed, I am. Like many of your listeners, I am absolutely dismayed to hear the Secretary of State saying that progress has been made, and then we see what he's about to do. It is very clear to the people of Northern Ireland that the prophet in all of this was Jim Allister. From day one, he said this would never work in a real way. And so it's so true. It's almost like trying to grow straight bananas. It will just not happen. So I think the people of Northern Ireland need to salute the clear foresight that Jim Allister had. He was castigated by many. Now I hear people talking about a voluntary coalition who hitherto would have walked all over Jim Allister. So long live Jim Allister, because as far as I'm concerned, he was the one who told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but it.
Okay, George, thank you. Robert in Newton Abbey. Robert, you are talking about the current discussion in terms of sexual misconduct and that line between knowing when you can physically touch someone and whether it is sexual and how that other person will receive it. Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, I was kind of puzzled there, Vinny, from your vast store of wisdom. You know, you mentioned as you inappropriately had touched a female on the elbow. How could you possibly do that? What gymnastics are involved in that? I don't know nothing about it.
Let's not trivialise it too much, though, Robert. What do you think? Do you think that the line is becoming blurred?
I'm pointing out that it is being trivialised. I beg your pardon, trivialised, because you can't, it's getting now, you can't look at a woman. You're going to have to wear dark glasses. You know, I'm a woman's liberal in the sense I'm all for the liberty of women because they're beautiful. We can't live without them. They're God's creation, the same as the rest of us. But, I mean, really, you know, some of these things just get completely out of hand. And I'm against any kind of behaviour, attitude, approach that would remove the dignity of a woman. I'm against all of that.
Exactly.
But, I mean, really, I think some of it's just getting out of hand.
And in what way? Because you're slightly contradicting yourself. It goes down to how that person receives, if they feel inappropriate, if they feel like what that other person, let's say if it's a man, has done was stepping over the line. You know, it then doesn't matter how we feel about it. It's so subjective. That's the point.
But it does, Vinny, because stepping over the line, everybody's got a different line.
Exactly.
You know, but therefore, they have to have a standard. And the standard is, you know, if somebody puts their hand on your knee, I mean, are they intending some sort of sexual advance, or is it just a friendly touch?
Exactly, and it could be, and that, once I keep talking about interpretation, it's subjective. Well, even someone touching your elbow, I know it sounds ridiculous, but if you think about it and really do, you could be doing that in a suggestive way. You could do that in a way that would make someone feel uncomfortable.
Well, Vinny, you know, all I can say, I'm being honest with you, you see people who are beginning to think like that, it's got to be wood from the neck up.
Okay.
I mean, the whole thing's just going overboard, you know?
Robert, thank you. Jim Wilson, I've only got about 20 seconds for you, Jim. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks very much.
Sorry, Jim.
No, what my fear is if it continues going the way it is, I know whenever all these things come out about paedophiles, I know that as a father like Rhonda, you got fearful of taking photographs and playing with your kids and stuff like that there, you know, so the word's just going. If I meet someone and I greet someone, what's that we do, hug him and give him a kiss on both cheeks and that there? Can I get brought up for sexual assault or stuff? It's just getting to the sublime.
All right.
You know,
Jim, sorry we didn't have more time for you this morning. Thank you very much.